Well, good morning. Once again, welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 will serve as our text. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, our text concerns Holy Spirit baptism, of which water baptism is a picture. And we shall first look at that, and secondly, examine the three gospel components as we find them here. First, concerning Christ's death. Second, Christ's burial. And third, Christ's resurrection. Holy baptism, or Holy Spirit baptism, of which water baptism is a picture. Now we recall the classic text on the three types of baptism that we have presented in the scriptures in the New Testament. And these three types of baptism are presented in word by John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So right there in that one verse, we've got baptism with water, baptism with the Holy Spirit, and baptism with fire. And you don't want that baptism with fire, because John is going to go and he's going to tell us what that is. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So this is identification with the flames of hell by virtue of a failure to believe upon the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now let us note that the water baptism of John was superseded by Christian baptism by water. And we read this in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In other words, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? And so they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So in believing, they received Holy Spirit baptism, and they also received water baptism, there being much water there. Notice here that the baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus, but the Great Commission reads that we are to be baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One name of the three persons of the Godhead. There is no contradiction here, because God is one and all are working to will and to do in our baptism. To use the name of all three persons is a fuller format, and so we use that in our water baptisms. Let the fools debate the semantics of this. Our subtext further states that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we've already defined the baptism with fire as the identification with hellfire. The Holy Spirit and the baptism therein is further spoken of in John chapters 14 and 15, as he has been sent in Jesus' name from heaven for the purpose of testifying to Christ. Even as the Son pointed sinners to the Father, so too God the Holy Spirit points sinners to the Son and testifies of his work. Based upon your belief in or your rejection of Jesus Christ, you will be in one of two camps. That will be your identification or your identity, if you like. Baptism, first and foremost, denotes identification in the spiritual sense. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Paul says this to believers. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so next, we shall examine the three gospel components as we find them in our text. Bearing in mind that the baptism of which we speak is the inward baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that water baptism is the outward demonstration or picture of these things which have been, are being, and shall be worked out in the life of each and every Christian. Beginning at salvation, but at the point of water baptism, this ought to be a time where we're spurred forward, rededicated, if you will, in our zeal and our work to live out and to promote the Christian gospel. Christ's death. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. The believer is identified with Christ's death insofar as Jesus paid sin's penalty by taking upon his body its wages. For as it is written, the wages of sin is death. And we have, therefore, real freedom and a new nature. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And so, we ought to be able to say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we go under that water, we are showing a picture that we have died to self and to sin. We are showing the world externally that which is the inward reality, that we have been baptized into Christ, that we are his, that we no longer belong to the devil, and that we no longer live, nor desire to live, under the dominion of sin. Christ's burial. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. And that he was buried is an essential point of the gospel. Yet it is often overlooked in our presentation. So what is our identification with his burial? First, it is that it is temporary. Corruption does not inherit incorruption, but rather God gives us an incorruptible spirit in the sense that our eternal fellowship with him is established once for all. Even as Christ was not left in the tomb, but was raised, we can identify with him in his burial insofar as one day we too shall be raised in bodies fit for heaven. And so we rejoice that it is written of our Savior, and we proclaim these words. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This eternal reality is shown in water baptism. And so, friends, as we submit to this holy ordinance which our Lord has given us, we go under the water temporarily, according to his burial, as it were. And we have a perfect record in this church We have not lost one yet. Now, the second point of identification with Christ's burial is a point of similarity from Hebrews. Burial is a rest. When we commit our loved ones to the Lord, we bid them rest in peace. Spiritually, when we are buried in baptism, we find rest in God through Christ Jesus. And therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, nor being mixed with, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And so, there remains therefore a rest. Therefore, for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So we are buried with Christ by baptism, and we are associated with the grace and the rest which his gospel brings. The third gospel component that Paul presents in our text is Christ's resurrection. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We don't have to look far to look to see how we are baptized or identified with his resurrection. For the Lord himself clearly states, because I live, you will live also. Because he is risen, we too will be identified with his resurrection. And we have this further theologically expounded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, died. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order: Christ, the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's, that is, who belong to him at his coming. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and to all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And so, therefore, we are urged to walk in the newness of life as we emerge from that water, knowing that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And so, baptism is an immersion in our identity and identification with Jesus Christ. There are a lot of folks running around today, and they've got all these identities, a whole alphabet soup of them. But according to the Word, there are only two identities. Mark well. An identity with God, the Holy Spirit, the Son of God and the Father. The baptism or identification with the Spirit, or an identity with hellfire. The baptism by fire, an identification with those who have rejected the only begotten Son of God. Only two identities in God's economy. I urge you, choose wisely. To choose Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you. To leave the old man behind. Behold, God has made all things new. He has even made you a new creation in the likeness of His Son. Let us forge ahead, therefore, each and every day, saying in our hearts, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Heavenly Father, we thank You for making a way of salvation for us. We thank You that You sent Your Son to the cross to pay the penalty for my sins, all of them, past, present, and future. We thank You that though He was buried, given a temporary resting place, that was not the end. That by Your agency, by the power of the Holy Spirit, yea, even the power of the Son of God, that He took up His life again from the dead. And Lord, we thank You that You graciously offer a measure of all of these things to us. We thank you for this day, where a picture of your salvation work will be reenacted through the baptism of water. Lord, that you will prepare these two ladies, daughters of the King, both Juliet and Brianna, and anyone else who may step forward and be convicted of the need to obediently go forth and partake of the sacrament this very day. May all things be done to the glory of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. At this